As expected, as I signaled yesterday, one of the things that Cyril Ramaphosa said last night is that the alcohol ban stays. My information is that the president is desperate not to allow people to drink alcohol again, but to allow those parts of the economy that are fueled by alcohol to get back to earning revenue so that people can stay in jobs and earn money and feed their families and so on, and that he is very keen for the data to allow him to do that. And with the number of infections we have at the moment, with the crush on hospitals and ICU place that we haven't, obviously the National Coronavirus Council thought that the time was premature. Ardila Maker-Diedrichs is the coordinator, the regional coordinator of the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance. Ardila, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having us.
Always a pleasure. Are you aware of any research or any analysis which tries to work out the relative impact on trauma admissions of alcohol bans versus curfews?
Well, I mean, I think it's currently a bit difficult to separate that because both is implemented at the same time. So I have to say no. The challenge we have in South Africa is that our alcohol attributable harm is generally very high pre-COVID times. What COVID has done is it has shown how regulation of alcohol can change. Now, SAPA don't support the ban on the sale of alcohol. We've always advocated that we need to have increased regulation on the sale, advertising, and pricing of alcohol. But at the same time, given the current crisis and the second wave, I'm sure you've known people that's been affected and possibly people have died. And all of us have had some kind of contact with people that have been adversely affected. And so the call from the president to consider the COVID pandemic imperative as a necessary step to continue to ban the transportation and sale of alcohol for another month. We support as citizens because that is just our health resources is really struggling. Our health workers are exhausted. And the talk of another wave coming means that we need to really look at how do we manage the issue of alcohol sale, distribution, marketing differently so that we've got a more long-term and permanent solution so that government don't have to fall back on banning in the times of crisis.
And look, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, this second wave will abate, and I don't know at what point the president the National Coronavirus Command Council will recommend to cabinet, and cabinet will agree that liquor can again be sold and consumed on and off consumption. I don't know how that's going to be managed, but there will come a point at which COVID is largely behind us. I think it's going to remain a part of our lives for a few years yet. But there'll come a time when the emergency associated with COVID is over. And then can we expect this time from government a better focus, a more precise laser-like focus on alcohol harm as a rule? I mean, we have a liquor law amendment bill which has been gathering dust since 2017.
And that is exactly the point that we have been trying to raise with government, that there was extensive consultation around that amendment bill, and we are unclear on why it has been gathering dust. It has got provisions in it that would help take us forward in better regulating alcohol. And so our question has been, is where is Minister Patel on this issue? He's been silent for the whole of 2020, despite the fact that alcohol and the Liquor Amendment Bill falls under his mandate, alcohol regulation. via the amendment bill.
So, I mean, the amendment bill was piloted by Rob Davies, so his predecessor. That's how long it's been around.
Absolutely. And so he inherited it, but since he has come into this ministry, there has been absolute silence. But what has happened is that NEDLAC, that also falls under the ministry, the industry has been able to renegotiate and is consistently negotiating a different regulatory regime with the ministry. None of that has come to light. But we've heard of social compact deals that has been negotiated with the industry without consultation of civil society. So our question is really, where does the Ministry of Trade and Industry and stand on the issue? And how can the political leadership in the that the president actually gets the minister to act on this? 3 years going, and still there is absolutely no answer on when this bill will go back to Parliament for further processing.
I've been reacquainting myself with the bill. I've been reading it over the last couple of days, and I think it provides a very sound basis for further discussions. I think what COVID has shown us is that the bill needs to be looked at, perhaps needs to be tightened in some areas. But there needs to be a further conversation about it, because we have a problem with alcohol harm in this country. We have a problem with binge drinking. We have a problem with a large number of people drinking to the point where they become violent towards themselves, to others, to strangers, to people in their homes. And we can't just rely on COVID to stop that.
Absolutely. And I think further to that, only 31% of South Africans drink. It's a statistic that lots of people find difficult to believe, but that's actually the stat that we have. But it's the people of those people that drink, they binge drink, and that's the people that is causing harm. So when SAB and industry proponents talk about rights, I think part of the conversation should be, what is the right of non-drinkers in this debate? The right to be protected, the right to health, and the right to be safer, women, children, ordinary people in communities. We also have a problem around the enormous amount of outlets, particularly where people live. And that is something that nobody is talking about. For example, in Khayelitsha, we have over 1,000 liquor outlets, but only 11% is registered, licensed. So the big question is, why is it that 900-odd outlets continue to operate?
Ralph Motega made the point in a column earlier today, I don't know if you read it, Adila, that
there's
something wrong with a country where so many poor people see selling alcohol illegally as their only route into some kind of income for themselves and their families.
Absolutely, and that's where we believe that Minister Patel has got a bigger role other than the Liquor Amendment Bill. We should be looking at what is the alternative income-generating activities that the ministry should be spearheading, so that people that are seeing that as the only alternative begin to really experience sustainable change in their lives. We need a push, and we've often talked about job creation, but I think COVID has really shown that in this particular sector, there is an absolutely necessary imperative to begin to look at how do we create jobs that are sustainable and that people can really live off. One of the comments that we've often heard is that people are illegally selling alcohol if they are not going to be able to earn a livable income.
Adila Meka-Diedrichs, thanks for talking to us this afternoon, Regional Coordinator of the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance.